In a world where women continue to break through glass ceilings, shatter stereotypes, and redefine success, there are so many stories just waiting to be heard. And that is exactly what this podcast is all about. I'm your host, Katie Williams, and in each episode, we'll sit down together with inspiring female entrepreneurs from diverse industries, backgrounds, and stages of their journey. We'll explore the lessons they've learned, the obstacles they've overcome, and the advice they have for those who might be ready to take a leap of their own. I cannot wait to dive into the day-to-day realities of running a business, often while juggling other roles like being a mum or working multiple jobs. You can expect honest conversations, valuable advice, and a whole lot of inspiration. So grab yourself a cuppa and let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Small Biz Society, the podcast. I'm Katie and today I am joined by Charlie Day.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here.
It's so lovely to have you. I feel like I can't not like full name you. You're Charlie Day.
Yeah, well, it's better than Charlie Day Sales. That's like what I usually get. I had like a power hour about LinkedIn because I'm so terrible on LinkedIn. I need to get better. That's what I'm doing in 2024. I'm going to get better. And the person who was like teaching me LinkedIn was like, why have you not got Charlie Day Sales as your name? And I was like, because
that's not my name. Amazing. So for anyone that doesn't know you, tell us who you are and what you do.
So my business is called Charlie Day Sales, and I help business owners create more sales in their business. I'm absolutely passionate about sales. I live and breathe it. And I audaciously claim that sales is easy if you just know how. And I'm here to show people how. I think particularly female entrepreneurs don't see themselves as salespeople. And I think actually, you know, if we're going to be the best business owners we can possibly be, you've got to see yourself as a saleswoman or a salesperson. And the only way we're going to do that is if we get really good at sales and step into it and believe that we are that, because sales is the lifeblood of any business.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to come back to that a little bit more in a minute. But tell us about your background. Has sales always been your thing?
No, I was terrible. I was absolutely terrible at sales. So, I mean, I don't know how far back you want to go, but I went to drama school when I was 16. I went to London. I lived in a tiny village in the middle of the Peak District. And I went to London to go to drama school. I wanted to be an actress. That was what I was passionate about back then. And when I graduated, when I was 21, I flung myself into my acting career, which lasted 5 months. And I actually did get booked for some professional stuff. Like I was on two things in the BBC. I've been in a Bollywood movie. Like,
amazing.
But they were very small parts. And like, whilst people were like, oh my gosh, you're doing really well, it didn't feel like I was doing really well because I had no money. I didn't know where my next job was coming from. And I'd sort of given myself a year, but I didn't want to be, and no disrespect to anyone who does this, because like hats off to you, you're amazing. I didn't want to be like having a waitress job and then go for auditions. It just wasn't me. I wanted to be like a successful actress or nothing at all. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, 5 months in, I was like, right, I'm not doing this anymore. It's not for me. And my parents, who had, you know, supported me and everything, were like, so what are you going to do then? And I was like, question. And so I set up my own theatre school. I was 21. I set up my own theatre school and I was like, you know, I am awesome. So why would everyone not come to my theatre school? And I'd researched like how many children were in that area. And I was like, it's going to be a success. Like, I don't think I'll be able to deal with the amount of people wanting to come. I don't know if it was my 21-year-old arrogance or I was just a bit green. So I spent 2011. It was probably about May that I decided I was going to do this for the summer holidays. So I was going to start with like a workshop in the summer holidays, and I had flyers printed and I was literally trawling the streets, like putting the flyers through doors of people's houses. And, you know, the phone wasn't ringing off the hook. I was struggling to get in front of any primary schools because they were like, no, not interested. We already worked with someone. And by the end of that summer, I'd got seven people. I'd bought this like massive hall, 30 costumes I'd hired in. How the hell am I going to do a show with seven people? Like, this is embarrassing. I was so embarrassed. I gave away three places for free because I thought 10, maybe I can do something with. But I just thought, I'll do the week, then I'll sweep it under the carpet and I'll think about what I'm going to do later. So I did the week. And actually, the kids were just so lovely because actually, I think the reason people didn't come is because they were already at theatre schools. You know, those sort of kids that loved theatre were already going to theatre schools. So the type of kids I got, like, were the kids that didn't usually get solos. But of course, what they had solo in my show because they're really bad of them. And so, like, everybody had a starring role because we had a whole week to rehearse this. So we had to put together something good. And the parents came, like, the tiniest audience. We maybe had, like, 20 people there. But at the end of that, I was like, oh, thanks so much. All of the parents were like, they absolutely loved it. We want to sign up to weekly classes. Like, when are you starting? And in that moment of having the conversation with the parents, I was like, I worked so hard to get these 10 people in. I'm not going to let them go now.
Yeah.
But promised to myself in that moment that I would just get really, really good at sales. And that's exactly what I did. I got good at sales. I fell in love with sales. I've always had sales training, sales mentorship, been in sales masterminds. And, you know, next week I'm going to Miami to go to 10X with Grant Cardone, the biggest sales conference in the world. I'm like always trying to better myself. And I always have done that. So I went on from there. I set up a party business, set up Phonics with Robot Reg, which franchised at the beginning of 2017. And we've got 64 franchises across the UK. And then in 2020, I made a Facebook group because people used to always chat to me, how have you done it? How have you sold so many franchises? And I just literally started a Facebook group on the 2nd of March, 2020, so that everyone could chat and have the conversations. And then, 3 weeks later, we were in lockdown. So those conversations turned from, you know, business to support, to how do we pivot, how do we work online? And it became a massive community, which was the starting point of this business. But it never, I never meant for it to start in that way. And then I started helping people just for free, you know, jump on a call, let's chat it out, because I was just at home and I love talking about this.
Yeah.
And about, so I opened it on the 2nd of March, and then by July, I had my membership. I was bringing in £250 a month passive income, which at the time I thought was wild. I was like, oh my gosh, what?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I've been swapping time for money anywhere else, you know? So it was, I'd done really well at Phonics with Robot Reg. I was head of sales, but, you know, I was constantly just on the phone to potential franchisees, selling. And I'd sort of figured out what worked. And eventually what we did is we just put a sales team in there for them to do it. But yeah, Charlie Day Sales opened my eyes to a whole new way of working. And of course, now I've got a mastermind, group programs where you can come and learn about selling. I've got my sales academy, my membership, the sales lounge, and then brand new for 2024, I've just launched my sales agency where my team actually go and sell for you. So yeah, that's a long story, but that's it in a nutshell.
That's incredible. So what would you say has been a real standout moment for you?
Such a good question. And I think that, you know, when you're planning your, I don't know if you're like me, Katie, I've always been a bit of a dreamer. Like, I've got the goals. I know where I want to go.
Absolutely.
All of the things. I don't know that there's one thing where I'm like, and that felt like it was amazing, because one thing that happened is I sold my 30th franchise on the week that I was 30 years old. You know, I, as you can imagine, I had like party and I was going away on holiday. So it was quite stressful, that sale, getting it through, but the press picked it up and they were like, oh my God, we're going to run this story if the sale goes through. And I'm like, oh my God, like, never felt pressure like it. I like lined up a second buyer just in case, because, you know, and looking back now, that was such a moment. That was a real moment of people going, oh my gosh, she knows what she's doing. And because I was young, I went on to win the Young Entrepreneur Award in Essex for that accolade. And it's those things sort of snowball together. Again, I went to Spain last year to do a recce for our retreat. And whilst I was in the airport, the lady who was doing PR for me rang me and was like, we've just been approached by Forbes to go in Forbes. And I was like,
wow,
oh, like, moment, right?
Yeah.
And Like, I guess in my head, this is crazy. I can't really believe I'm going to say it out loud on a podcast, but I honestly thought, and this has been a theme throughout my whole business, like I thought if I got my flyers out, people would just come. I thought if I was in Forbes, I'd made it.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought that was like, if I could get in Forbes magazine, bloody hell, the phone's going to be ringing off the hook. But in reality, there hasn't been the one thing. Like, it was exciting to be in Forbes and to see me mentioned and da da da. Didn't really bring me anything apart from my audience getting super excited with me and everyone being like, oh, yeah, that's cool. It's not like suddenly I was a millionaire overnight. The things that have contributed to me being a six-figure business owner, a multi-six-figure business owner, and now onto a seven-figure business owner is just the snowball effect of a lot of different things. And that's the thing that I think people miss about sales is it's tiny things, tiny actions over a long period of time. And we just rinse and repeating. So probably the thing that's had the biggest impact on my business is me just getting on discovery calls, getting to know people, getting to find out what their problems are and inviting them to come and work with me.
Wow. It's inspiring to hear it from that side, but I don't know what the word is, to hear that, yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean overnight getting into something like that. It's like when people want to go viral on social media, isn't it? Things like that, that one big break might not necessarily change everything overnight, but it's good to know that just that consistency is where it's at, really.
And I actually think the other way is scarier because people say to me like, oh my gosh, it was like you're an overnight success. I'm like, for 10 years of graft is an overnight success. Sure, that's me. But I have seen it happen. And this has sort of happened to me since I launched the agency. So, you know, we have got a very select number of clients who are absolutely amazing at the moment. And we're getting really, really amazing results. And one such result has been very public recently, which is amazing for us. But what that has meant is that the amount of inquiries that we're now getting for the sales agency is more than we can possibly fulfill.
Yeah.
And that's quite hard. Like the other side of it, when it just goes, you know, you've waited for 18 months, it's been a work in progress, you know, you're literally like dragging people over the line, come and bloody work with me, I'm brilliant, I'll change the sales in your business. Yeah. And then you get the testimonials, you know, nobody knew who I was. I was like, Katie, come, I'll tell you, like, I don't know you. Who are you? I'm amazing. Sure you are. Sure you're going to say that. But actually, when people can see your results and go, well, actually, this is how much money we took last year in this launch. And then Charlie's team came and this is how much money we made. It's like, oh, that's an absolute no-brainer to go and work with her. But then, yeah, the other side of it is quite scary as well because you want to get it right.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. So what's one thing that you wish you had known when you just started out?
I don't know if I could bottle it down to one thing. I mean, one piece of advice that I would give to my younger self is just don't give a fuck what anyone else thinks. That has been such a work. Am I allowed to swear? Sorry.
Yeah, don't worry. Yeah, it's fine.
Do not care what anybody else thinks. I think I spent way too long. I think to a certain extent, I probably still do spend a bit too much energy when worrying what anyone thinks.
I think we all do as much as, I mean, I don't know about you, but there are days when I'm like, no, I don't care. I am who I am. Not everyone's going to like me and that's okay. And then there are other days when I think, oh God, did me saying that offend people and blah, blah, blah. And yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, if you're going to do good things and you're going to change the world and, you know, you're going to have a level of success, you have got to get to terms with the fact that not everyone's going to like that. I have learned that the hard way. I thought that people would just be so pleased with me if I was successful. And that's not the case at all, you know, and I'm not even just talking about other business owners and people who might feel envy, but I've felt it from family members and friends, you know. It's like you can do quite well, but if you go over the edge and go too much, then, you know, why do you need that much money? Why do you want that? And it's hard.
Yeah. But you're doing it for you and your family. So, you know.
Absolutely. And I've always said, like, the reason that I want to be a seven-figure business owner is to show other female business owners what's possible. I think we should all be seven-figure business owners. Here's the thing, right? Whenever I did launches, and this still happens to me today, right? So I'll be like, okay, I'm going to bring in 50 people. If I could bring in 50 people, let's say that's 50 grand launch. Brilliant. Oh my God, I'd be absolutely chuffed with a 50 grand launch. That'd be amazing. So my first couple of launches, I didn't get there, but I was always aiming for a 50 grand launch. And then I got to a point where I was at a 50 grand launch and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. 50. So could I do 60? So I'd write down 60 and reverse engineer it. How many people do I need? Okay, 60, 70. Yep, I can do 70. And then I was like, hang on a minute. Why am I keeping the target so small? Like, what about if I aim to do 150? And then my mind's going, we couldn't do 150. Well, why not? If you can do 50, you can do 150. What's stopping you? Like, and so that's what I think happens with us as business owners. I mean, everybody is fixated on becoming a six-figure business owner. Now, it's, you know, I always say go for 120 if you're going to go anything because of the tax threshold. Not that I know a lot about that, so I won't talk about it on a podcast because it's really not my area of expertise. But what if we were all aiming to be seven-figure business owners instead? What's the worst thing that could happen? That we are, yeah. Oh God, I only did 500,000 this year. Oh, well, never mind. I think we can cope with that. Let's do the seven figures next year. And it's just, I think female business owners in particular, and I don't want to get all male bashy because I love men. I love them. I think they're a really important part of sales and sales teams and things like that. But I think we keep ourselves small.
Yeah.
And the result of that is that we get small results.
I agree. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's society or a mixture of sort of everything, but I completely agree with that.
You're going to raise your targets.
Absolutely.
Good.
So as you said, and is the title of your book and your group and everything, you claim sales is easy if you just know how. Can you obviously give us any tips on the how? What can you give us for free?
Yeah, I mean, I can give you everything for free. I can just tell you right now how to make sales, because honestly, I do think that sales is easy if you just know how. I see all these amazing, amazing business owners. You know, I've made friends with some phenomenal people who can do amazing stuff. I don't know any posh bits. That's what I always say. But all I know is how to make more sales in your business, in my business, in anybody's business. And it's just finding a formula that works for you. Okay. So, I mean, should we do this live on the call? Are you launching something? Is there something that we can talk about that's relevant? Because I feel like it'd be more fun.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Oh, my gosh. I'm not launching anything. So I recently launched a membership. So okay, that is something I need to work on.
Okay, perfect. So what's the membership called? Let's just give it a bit of promo in case any listeners want to join the membership.
It's just Small Biz Society. Everything's just okay, Small perfect. Biz Society.
Okay, great. I love it. Consistency. So we want more people to join the Small Business Society. What's the goal? How many people do we want?
How many people do we want? I want 100 people.
100 people, absolutely, because the more people that we get in the Small Business Society, the better it's going to be. There's going to be more networking, more opportunities, you're going to get in bigger speakers. So it's going to be great for everyone if we can get that to 100 members. And how much is it?
So for the I did the whole founding price. So brilliant. For the first 50 people, it's £17 a month.
Okay, so we're still on that.
We are very much still on that.
So anybody who's listening who wants to jump in, you could potentially get it for £17 a month, and it's going to stay at that. That's a founding member rate. So yeah, if you want that, you need to come in now. Okay, fine. That's not a sales pitch. That's just me giving you information. So we want 100 people in that group. Now, to get people into that group so far, what have you done? How are you getting them in there?
Oh, not very much. What did I do?
So just think about one person who's come in, like what was their journey to coming in? Did you chat to them in the DMs?
Social media, chatting in the DMs, and yeah.
Okay, perfect. So we know we want 100 sales, and the way that we're going to do that is we're going to make relationships, we're going to chat to people in the DMs. So let's say that for every one in five conversations that you have, you're going to be able to convert. Okay, so we need to have 500 conversations in the DMs to make those 50 calls. Okay, Now, it might be that you're thinking, well, how could I possibly start 500 conversations? My audience isn't big enough. So then we need to go back one step further and like, what activity could you do in order to start 500 conversations in the knowledge that if you started those 500 conversations, you would make 50 sales? Now, this is all about small businesses. So what I would do, and there's a whole chapter on this in my book, if you're business to business, you need to read my book. I mean, everyone needs to read my book, but if you're B2B, even more so. What I would do is I would create some sort of excitement. I don't know what it would be for you. I used to do this thing called Working Mum Wednesday where I shared everybody and I made this whole community where I would literally put the businesses on a pedestal and then I would use people from my membership as the first 50. And then so they were getting like the preferential treatment
yeah.
because people loved it and they wanted to be included in it. So you've got to think, okay, this is the sales that we want. This is how we're going to do it. So it discovery calls, website clicks, DMs, whatever that middle bit is for you. And then it's what is the activity in order to have the conversation, in order to make the sales. And then every day when you wake up, you're going, right, 10 conversations today. I am not doing anything until I've had those 10 conversations. How do I have them? What's happening? And we're keeping on top of these numbers all the time. How many sales have you made this week? How many conversations have you had? Okay, next week we're going to try and double it. How can we double it? Well, we'll double the activity and then we'll be able to double the conversation. And so, and I'm just like doing that all the time.
Wow. So it's making conversations, isn't it? And obviously.
Literally. And then
going, you know, from there.
The next question that people ask me after that, they're like, wow, that's easy. I can crack on with that. But I don't know what to say. And it's really important when we're getting into these conversations, either on the DMs or on discovery calls, that we aren't getting into that place where they want to be our friend and they're asking for free advice. Charlie, can you just do what you did for Katie on the podcast with my business? No, absolutely not. You've got to pay.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to do that.
It is.
And the other thing is people say, I did a discovery call and I did a bit of coaching on the call. So they actually said at the end of the call that they've got enough from that call. So they're going to go away and put it into action.
Yeah.
A discovery call is to discover if we want to work together. So you shouldn't be doing any teaching on that call. I'll literally ask people, where's your business now? Where do you want it to be? And how do you think I can help you get there? And then I literally say nothing. While they tell me exactly what's going on, where they're struggling, what they're struggling with in their sales. And then literally at the end, I just package up if what I've got works for them and their business and their price point, package up what I've got and invite them to work with me. I don't want to work with everybody. I had a sales call with someone yesterday and I was like, not for me, because I want to work with friendly, fun, nice people who don't take things too seriously.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I have other people that I might point that person too, but not everyone's for me. So a discovery call is as much me figuring out if I want to work with you as it is you figuring out if you want to work with me. And there's no coaching, there's no free advice.
That's really good advice, because I'm one of those that I think, maybe because, you know, my business is still quite new, I'm still finding that place of what I can give away and what not to give away for free. And, you know, bless, like, my mum and my husband are always like, stop talking, stop giving people advice, start charging them. And you know, and you're like, oh, I don't know where that line is. So
it is a fine line, because in the beginning of your business, you need that traction, and that's what a lot of people are missing, and that's what people give up because they don't ever find it. And I think, you know, I don't know if I'm quite stubborn, but I'm just not a person who gives up. So there was no option. You know, I used to do my Sunday night live and nobody would watch, but it was just like, I will do that until someone watches, you know. Yeah. And it's the same with business now. When I'm making sales, I'm like, I am going to sit here until midnight. And if I don't make a sale, it'll be 2 a.m. Like, I have to find a way to make a sale. And especially now with my clients in the sales agency, it's like, I've got to make those sales. Otherwise, I'm losing the contract, you know. Like, imagine if you were going to lose a contract, you make a sale. And actually, because I've been an affiliate for a lot of different businesses that I love and respect, and obviously I'm Lisa Johnson's number one affiliate. And
you are.
I am. And that was the first time I was that. Nobody knew me. I wasn't on the map. Nobody was like, oh my God, she's going to win. Like, we always have this, like, oh, she's really good. She's got a big audience. Nobody had that about me. And in fact, I put my sales targets into Lisa's team. You don't have to do that anymore, but you used to have to put your sales targets in and give them a number. And I said, I think I'm going to make 20 sales. And they were like, with all due respect, it's really hard to make 20 sales. So these numbers feed directly into Lisa's. So we're going to put you down for 5.
Oh, really?
And I was like, I really think that I can do more than 5. And they were like, brilliant if you can, like there'll be a bonus. But we need to give her realistic numbers, which obviously now as like a sales lead, I understand why. I came off the phone just feeling so deflated. And I was like, I wouldn't, you know, necessarily do it for 5. And not that my business was massive at the time. It wasn't. I wasn't even at 6 figures. I was just like, just can't believe that they would have that little faith in me.
Yeah.
So my goal had been 20, but I always say to people, double the goal and work out a plan for double. And so I worked out a plan to bring 40 in instead of 20, because I was like, I need to prove them wrong.
Absolutely. Like, yeah.
And so we did leads, and I never do that well in leads because I don't have as big an audience as some people's got hundreds and thousands of people in their audience. So I did leads and I didn't place at all. And then the car opened and I remember getting a message saying the first sale is for you, like, well done, you've made the first sale. And I was like, oh, brilliant. And then the end of night one, I hit 45 sales in the 24 hours, and I got a message from the team being like, we're so sorry.
Good. Oh, that's amazing.
I think that's when I realized, actually, I'm just really good at finding the formula and then rinse and repeating it. And yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, you know what you're doing, and you proved that you
ended on 68 sales.
That's amazing.
Year, obviously this year I ended up on 144 sales, so my growth has been massive over the years.
But that's brilliant. That's incredible. Obviously, you know, being in your world, I know that you talk a lot about following up. What's the importance of following up?
It's everything. I can't get my head around why people wouldn't be following up. Like, if someone's interested in... But this is the thing, right? I've been on this podcast. Like, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be on this podcast. I think podcasts are brilliant because they're like evergreen content. Like, this will be out there, because somebody might be listening to it in 2030. Hello and welcome. I'm probably in it. you know, and that's the brilliant thing about podcasting. If I was to get off this call, like I'm talking about it now, so it'll be awkward when I follow up, but just in general, I would reach out and say, Katie, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. Like, I really appreciated it. When the episode's out, let me know and I'll post it on social media. And if there's any other way we can collaborate in the future, I'd be really open to understanding how. That to me is just common sense. Now, I thought that everybody did that. I just thought that that was the thing. If I see a speaker on stage, I'm messaging them, say that, you know, with genuine points of like, I love this bit. There has been times when I've seen people on stage and I haven't responded, which is in my mind. But, you know, if someone gives me an opportunity, like to be Lisa's affiliate, I would always follow up with my clients who are currently my... You know, Ernie gets invited on a play date. I'm following up saying, thank you so much for having him. Like, following up is very normal in my life. And I actually think it's quite rude when people don't do that.
Yeah. See, when you put it that way, it sounds, really simple and obvious that, yes, that's what you do.
Yeah. And so if you think about, you know, doing it for play dates and drinks with mates and whatever, then if someone shows a bit of interest in paying me money, I'm going to be following up with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be absolutely following up with that. You know, and I'm like, you know, I'm in sales mode at the moment. We're currently selling, and I've just here, like, I've got a full list of people. We're just following up and getting in their face and having conversations. You know, at no point do we become rude or pushy, or, you know, I'm not going to come around your house and, you know, grab you by the throat and tell you bye. I'm just gonna friendly, like, say, hey Katie, I know you're interested in buying this thing, are you still interested? And I think people have made follow-up this big, massive thing. And yeah, I had someone say, oh, I've been followed up by your team 3 times last week. And I was like, okay, there's another 4 coming, just so you know. Yeah, and I felt like they were saying, like, I just, you know, watch it. And I always say to my team, because of who we are, we have to follow up. I would prefer for my clients to be followed up too much than not at all.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I don't think there's a problem with it. I love it. Love it.
So what would you say to somebody when they say that they feel like selling is a bit icky? Because there are lots of people that I think do, you know, I think sales is one of those things that a lot of people think of, you know, a classic car salesman, and it's a bit much. So what would you say to those people?
The industry has got a really bad name because people have done it bad, like car sales guys. And, you know, I've seen really bad practices just this week, to be honest. So I get it. And what I always say is, let's create a sales strategy that works for you and your business, right? I've been doing this for years, and I have grown a business, and I've got a reputation and a name for myself. And that's why I think, and there was a time when I had so many leads that I couldn't keep on top of them. And I was really mad with myself because I never want to be someone who's saying something but not actually doing it. So for me, following up 7 times as a bare minimum is what I do.
Yeah.
But if you've never followed up before in your life, if you're listening to this and you have never followed up, just start with once.
Yeah.
Just start following up with everybody once, you know, in a way that is really comfortable with you. And then when you see the results from that, you'll want to follow up twice. And but if you were just to go, all right, now I'm following up 7 times, it's probably not going to sit well with you. And you'll sit there going, oh my gosh, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. Let me just make a coffee and then I'll do it. And making all these excuses for yourself. And I want you to love sales. You need to love sales. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So we've got to find a way that works for you and your business.
Yeah, I don't absolutely. Want to
feel icky or uncomfortable for anyone, because it's just not going to
be. No, because then it wouldn't be enjoyable, would it? And then you don't want to do it. I mean, exactly. For me, right at this moment, 7 times seems quite a lot for me. But I think that's because I maybe do 1 at the most. I do try. I'm like, okay, I need to put my Charlie head on and I need to follow up. But yeah, maybe once. So maybe I can push it to twice.
But then the thing that I would say to you, Katie, is there are people in your audience right now who are thinking about signing up to your membership and they haven't yet because you haven't pushed them over the edge. You haven't sold it. You haven't shown them the value of it. And actually, we've got a massive proposition on our hands. You know, the first people get it for £17. That should be flying.
I had one of those moments last week. We went for dinner and there was about 8 of us, all small business owners. And a friend said, yeah, but your membership, I haven't seen you post much about it. And you know, when you think, uh-oh. Like, so yeah, that's something I need to work on. I need to put it out there more. So that is definitely in my plan.
You got to hype it. You got to build your own hype. And I also think this is a good time to mention, you know, you went out for dinner with 8 people. And obviously, I've seen you at various events over the last 12 months. So important to get yourself in the room with other people who are doing this. But most importantly, other people who are further ahead than you, which is why I'm flying to Miami next week to do what I'm going to do. Because, you know, I've got an amazing network here, but it's like, how do I take that to the next level? Yeah. What does that look like? And I can't encourage you to do that enough. Who go and have a conversation with someone who, you know, you really admire their business. Because actually, when you have the conversations, I think you'll start thinking, if she can do it, so can I. She's no different. She didn't know how.
It's always nice talking to somebody that you think has completely got their shit together and you realize they don't have it all together.
No. It's like when people say ducks in a row to me, I'm like, we don't do that phrase. No. I've got a menagerie of birds and I train them, you know?
Okay, so how do you plan your time? Are you a planner? Do you like pass it on to other people now?
I just like wish I had a really good answer for you where I was like, I am so great, but I don't.
And that's fine. See, that makes me feel better.
Okay, good. So I usually do follow up and personal outreach from 9 till 10 every single day. I do plan things into my diary. Like I was speaking to my mum the other day and she was like, honestly, I feel like buying one of these sales days for myself because I never see you. So I was like, right, diary out. Let's like get some dates in. Because I think, you know, and even like things like date nights tonight. Oh, yeah, tonight, date night. I have them in my diary so that I know that I'm definitely going to do them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I can fall into this place of like just working and working and working. And because I love what I do and I love the follow up and the personal outreach and the conversations and the sales stuff, I just do that and do that and do that. And so mm-hmm. I have learned the way that my brain works. Like my personal assistant and me will sit together for half a day each week because when she's there cracking the whip, I actually do things.
Yeah.
I also like need like half an hour every day just to like stare into space. Have some freedom for that. Because I do think like if you're doing loads of stuff, your brain doesn't go into that creative space, which I think why things like running and working out and going for a walk is really important because you need that creative space to have the ideas, which is why I go on holiday every holiday.
Yeah. And that is now my goal. I remember I had said that, you know, I wanted like a couple of holidays a year. And then I remember hearing you talk and you said that your goal was to go on holiday every school holiday. And I was like, right, the goal has changed. That is the new goal.
Right. But this is what I'm saying about the minimums. You know, like, do you need to go on holiday every holiday? Do you really need that? Well, I don't know if I need it, but it's what I'm doing. So, yeah, you absolutely do it. And I think as well for me, like getting out of the country really makes me stop working. So that's another good reason. Yeah.
And it's being okay with that, isn't it? I mean, we're going away next week and we're just going to Great Yarmouth. So we're in the country. But I've made the conscious decision that I'm not going to be posting on social media. I'm not going to be doing any work. And I say that, you know, I might have my notepad and I might do something because it's always the way, isn't it? You have some downtime and then you have all these ideas. But yeah, I'm consciously saying that I'm not working, she says with quotation marks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, previously I've taken the full 6 weeks of my holidays off. I certainly won't be doing that this time. I'm working the second week of the Easter holidays.
Yeah, me too.
Is all about me bringing the sales agency to life. So I think I'm going to lose an amount of flexibility this year, but I'm okay with that because I really want to try this thing and I've got massive plans for it. And I think when it falls off. I feel like it has already. You know, it's gonna make a massive difference to people. Like I just signed another client up last night, an amazing. And this is the thing. It's like amazing clients who I have dreamed of working with, and now like flocking towards me. So I can't just go, oh, but also I have 6 weeks off in some holiday. So if you want any sales during that time, not going to be available to talk to. So I do think there's a mix and where I am in my business at the moment. Like I can take time off, don't get me wrong, but I am still doing social media and things like that when I'm not in the country or taking a bit of time off. But I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So do you do your own social media?
Yeah, I do have help with my social media, but I do a lot of it myself. I think it's really important. I outsourced it for a bit and it didn't really have as much traction as when I do it. I had a really bad time at the end of last year. My brother-in-law got really, really poorly really quickly and he passed away on Christmas Day. And it was just a hard time. And it's the hardest thing that I've had to navigate through whilst running a business.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go on social media. I just couldn't show up when all of that was going on. And I also felt, not that anyone would care, because obviously they know that I run a business, and but it just didn't feel right for me to be putting on my makeup and be like, ha-da-da! And also I didn't want to talk about, you know, I can talk about it now, but I didn't at the time want to talk about because it wasn't my story to tell. My sister was 38, my brother-in-law was 42. It's like, it was a lot to deal with. And I stopped posting anything. You know, my team would share things and share generic stuff. And then I didn't work for a while, and then I went to an in-person day, and while I was there, everyone was saying, oh God, Charlie, I love your makeup lives, like when you put your makeup on, you talk to us, I love it so much, I've missed them, and like I understand why you haven't been doing them, but when you're ready, like I really want them to come back. And actually just getting that feedback, I honestly started those just to save time, you know, I'm like, yeah, gotta put my makeup on, so I may as well talk to the camera at the same time. But when I got the feedback, I'm like, that's what people love. They love that raw, I am not perfect, Katie, I'm so far away from perfect, like, and I want people to know that I take risks, I do things way before I'm ready, I've got audacious goals, but I'm not perfect and I'm not organized and I don't know what's going on most of the time, but I can go anyway. So yeah, I'm rambling now. I do my own socials most of the time.
Amazing. All right. So where do you see yourself in 10 years time?
Oh my God. I love this question.
You have like the goal.
So in 10 years time, I'm going to be 45. So where will I be? Well, I will have, I will definitely have the number one UK female led sales agency. Maybe worldwide. Maybe I go worldwide on that, because I think it's not going to take me 10 years to get that to like the UK. Anyway, so that 100% is going to be separate from my business. It's going to have its own name and its own entity. So the plan is that I sell it or I pass it on, something that exists without me. Obviously at the moment I'm very much in there, I'm like chatting with clients, and but that's obviously not always going to be the plan. And I don't think I'll live in the UK, and I think I'll have a yacht.
Oh, will you be like driving, is it driving, sailing? Will you be doing that, or will you have the I don't even know what they're called, sailor, I don't know.
I won't be I won't be driving.
Won't be doing that.
I wouldn't even know how to. I mean, even
you don't
like,
want to learn to
I don't know how. No, but yeah, when we were in Dubai in February half term, Alan Sugar's yacht was there, and so was the Sheikh, like who runs yacht, and they were like massive yachts, and we took a little canoe out and they were like, just don't go near the yacht. If you bump into one, then we'd be in serious trouble. But we were like, oh my God. And my husband had like a boat finder, so we were like seeing who these boats belonged to and what they looked like on the inside. I never knew you could do so much with a boat.
Wow. No.
Yeah,
I get quite travel sick, so I think, oh, I'm not sure that's for me.
No. Yeah. And to be honest, you know, I had never really been that worried about yachts or things like that. And then obviously Lisa Johnson came into my world and took me on a private jet. And when I was going on the private jet, I mean, first of all, I was nervous. It was after that time when they said I'd only make 5 sales. Yeah. I was number one affiliate and I was invited on this private jet. That was the top 5 got to go on a private jet. I mean, first of all, I was nervous as hell because I didn't know anyone. I didn't even know Lisa Johnson. I was supposed to go to France with her for a day, or Barcelona, I think it was the first time. I was nervous. I didn't really get it. I was like, are we that bothered about going on a plane to Barcelona for lunch and then coming back? I didn't really get it. And then I did it and I was like, oh my God, this is like a different experience. It's like a... Yeah. And I went on the first time I went on a yacht was with Lisa. And yeah, she's opened my eyes to a whole level of luxury that I didn't even know existed.
I love that. And that's the thing. Our dreams can change, can't they? You know, in another 5 years, you might want something completely different. But I love that you've got those goals.
Yeah. Yeah. And my goal was always to get a Chanel handbag. Like before I got married, my name was Charlie Condren, CC. The sign. So like I decided when I was 16 that I was gonna buy a Chanel handbag for myself when I could, right? And my family aren't like that. Like I grew up in a really small village in the middle of the Peak District. We used to wear like walking boots and stuff, do you know what I mean? Like I live in Essex now, which is all very designer handbaggy, but I don't even know when I came across a Chanel handbag. But And when I met my husband, when we were just dating, he's very much more designery than me. And I said, like, oh, one day I want to have a Chanel handbag. And he said, do you know how much they are? And I was like, well, no, I've not got any idea. But just the clasp is like two C's. And Charlie Condren, you know, he's like, yeah, they're like, and I think at the time he said they were like £5,500 or something. I was like, who would buy one of those? That is insane. And so I said to him, if I ever get to £100,000 in, not in my business, but in personal income,
yeah,
then we'll buy a Chanel handbag. And when I did, what happened is I did my first ever 100 grand launch. And it was at that point that he was like, come on, Charlie, come on, like go and buy. So I was like, okay, went into the shop. They gave me the handbag and I like, felt it. I was like, I can't do it. I just cannot. And I had a few moments like that. I sniffed it, tried it on. No, I can't do it. And then it was the second time I went on the private jet. All the girls were talking about Chanel. And I said, I've always wanted to buy a Chanel handbag, but I just don't know how I could justify it. And they were like, you know, you've done so amazing on this launch. Why don't you treat yourself? You should treat yourself. And I was just like, they were like £7,500, because this is like 10 years that this has been going on for, £7,500. I was like, I just can't, I cannot. And I said, do you know what? If you guys go to Chanel, I'm going to come in with you. And the bag, I wanted like the classic Chanel bag. I was like, it's very rare that it's in there, but if it's in there, I will buy it.
Yeah.
And I'm like sweaty palms, because I'm like upset in front of like, you know, these guys now, I can't pull it out. And we went on a boat trip just before we went shopping. And whilst we were on the boat trip, I made a sale. Someone came into my my group program or whatever, and it was £7,500 paid for. And she paid in full £7,500. And I was like, if that is not a sign from you. Then I went to the shop. They had the bag there. I was like, oh,
and so that is a sign.
So I bought it. And the next day I was like, still having sweats about it. But yeah, you know, it's all a work in progress. I've used it all the time, and it's sort of a reminder of like the accolade of how well I've done. And
yeah,
I think it's important that we learn to treat ourselves on whatever level that is for you.
Yeah, I love that. Are you ready for the quick five?
Ready.
Okay. Who is your biggest inspiration?
Walt Disney.
Love that. What's your favourite business book? Of course, you can say your own.
I wouldn't say my own because it's not my favourite. I like Alex Hormozy, $1 Million Leads.
Oh, I haven't read that one.
Oh, you need to read it. $1 Million Offer and $1 Million Leads. Need to read them both. Brilliant. 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 Amazing. And also 10X by Grant Cardone. Awesome. I have some problems with Grant Cardone. Not condoning the way that his sales team work. The book is brilliant.
Fab. Do you have a favourite business podcast?
Oh my God. Now, this is really, really hard because I don't want to say the one that have been listening to the most recently. Because I'm not saying it. Because, I really like the Rachel Hollis podcast. So I'm going to use that one instead. But I have been listening to the other one by the big male dominating
podcast. Is it the one that like everyone says?
Yeah. So I'm not saying it, but I went to watch him. I didn't like him. And I went to watch him and I did meet and greet because I was like, cool, that social media picture will be good. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And then I watched the show and he had like little snippets from the podcast. And I've now, because I've got ADHD, become obsessed with like listening to all of those podcasts. There's something about him that just irritates me. And I feel like I need to explore what that is.
Yeah.
Is it because he's so successful? I don't know. But I'm not saying that. Rachel Hollis podcast is what I'm going for.
Amazing.
All the time. So.
All right. What is your guilty pleasure?
Going to Disneyland. Is that a guilty pleasure?
Absolutely not.
I don't know that I have any. I'm so boring. I don't watch TV. What's my guilty pleasure? What's your guilty pleasure?
Like really cheesy TV programs.
Yeah, see, I don't watch TV. Just
really, really crap programs.
I don't watch TV. I don't read books. I don't read magazines.
What do you do? You sell.
I do read books. I read business books and things. Yes, I'm either spending time with people I enjoy spending time with or working, ultimately.
That's fine. We'll skip that one.
My guilty pleasure is working. Too many hours.
Do you have a favourite biscuit?
Oh, custard cream all the way. I love a custard cream. I can't eat them because I will eat a whole packet, but I love
custard. All right. What is one piece of advice you would give to somebody just starting out in business?
Just fucking do it. Do it before you're ready. Do it now. Do it yesterday. Don't give a fuck what anyone thinks. Get it out there. You are awesome. You can change your life if you want to. Just fucking do it.
Amazing. Amazing.
Fingers crossed I was allowed to swear because I seem to have sworn way through this.
Okay, and let us know where we can find you.
Okay, come and follow me at Charlie Day Sales on Instagram, TikTok. Come and join my community. Sales is easy if you just know how. Listen to my podcast, Sales is Easy If You Just Know How. Yeah, come send me a message. Tell me you listened to the podcast. Tell me what you thought. Let's have a chat. And also, should I give everyone the link to my 50 ways to find new leads, maybe?
Absolutely. That would be amazing. Oh, thank you so much for coming on. It's been amazing to have you. And I will leave, obviously, all your links, all the details in the show notes. And thank you so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And I'll see you in the next one.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you again so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please consider leaving a review and make sure you're following me so you don't miss out on future episodes. And if you're interested in being a guest yourself, just reach out and we can have a chat. All the details of where you can find me are in the show notes of each episode. So let's connect, and I can't wait to see you next time.